Katie Hess. Katie, thank you for joining me. I'm going to read her bio real quick. Katie is an expert of flower alchemy, using the healing power of flowers to awaken our true potential. She's the author of Flower Evolution. That's like evolution. Okay. And founder of Lotus Way. Katie captures the activating life force potential from flowers all over the world, translating it into an accessible method to accelerate personal growth. Over the last 3 years, she noticed that people in her community, taking flower essences regularly, were unfazed by world events and able to root into their sense of truth, self-discovery, and discernment. Currently, she is collecting flowers and developing new remedies to awaken individual and collective courage and empowerment. Find out what your favorite flower means about you at lotusway.com. And we'll have all that stuff in the show notes. And we have some stuff for members of the Way Forward that we will share. So, Katie, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I was sharing with you before that you have like a very mysterious, you thought I said cult and I said a cult. It's like you have a cult like energy. You're like, thanks. Mysterious occult, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like there's just a lot of mystery in the energy that you carry in a good way. And I think it makes sense because there's a lot of mystery in plants, at least from my perspective. And of course, you've developed a really intimate relationship with plants. So maybe it's not very mysterious to you, which is why you say you haven't heard that before. But how did you get started doing what you do? Let's start there.
I ran into an indigenous woman in Mexico who handed me a flyer, and I read the flyer and I was like, whoa, this is really cool. There's an expert coming from Spain teaching about flower remedies. So I went to see him in Mexico City, and he taught me two things. One was every flower on the planet affects us spiritually, emotionally, mentally. I thought that was cool. And then the second thing was that if 3% of the world's population were actively working with this type of antidote, that it would change the future of the planet. And I got super excited about that because I had been searching my whole life for some sort of like spiritual direction. I was searching for my tribe, you know, like I remember you grew up in the Midwest. Yeah. I was in a small town at the time. I was 7 years old in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in a tiny town on the lake. And I was like, trying to do astral projection so I could get
a 7 year old.
Yes. Like every night I would just try to project out of my body so I could go find the people that I needed to meet. Like people
Did
like
you.
Do you
have any concept of astral projection, or were you just like, no, I can take my body out of here and go look somewhere else?
I read about it and I was like, oh, that's okay. It. I'm going to try
that every
night.
What were your parents like? Were they inclined in this direction? Like, I guess my experience growing up in the Midwest is there's a lot of evangelical and other types of Christians. So is that what you were typically around?
For the most part, yeah. But my mom gave me this really interesting book that had that information in it. And I thought, okay, this is how I'm going to find my people.
Wow, age 7.
It just didn't work though.
Yeah.
So fast forward, that really resonated, the 3%. And then I came back to the U.S. and I was like, I'm going to bring the flower essences. And it was in 2001. So yoga wasn't cool. Meditation wasn't cool. And really gave me time to develop myself and really walk my talk and develop the craft and put in the 50,000 hours of, you know, working with people individually, collecting flowers before I even thought about coming out with something that I could scale.
Mm-hmm. So when you learned the healing power, or just the power itself of flower essences, was there any direct experience that you had that made you think, oh my goodness, these things are incredible?
Yeah, actually, I was struggling with a health condition, or, you know, had gone to the doctor and they said, you have this, and this is something that is like a precancerous growth and this could turn into cancer. And so at the time I was studying all forms of natural medicine, because I believed that the root cause was probably emotional or energetic. Mm-hmm. And that if I could just locate what that root cause was and uproot it, the physical would go away. And in effect, that's what happened.
Wow. And it's from flower essences. You think that sort of sparked the healing process in your body? Did it? How do I want to word this? It's like, that specific physical symptom you were dealing with, was it tied to a specific emotion that you could pinpoint or a specific undealt with trauma that you could pinpoint? Or is it kind of general?
I mean, I think I could if I thought about it. I don't necessarily think it's important to like really figure it out, but sure. Yeah, there's a sense of, I mean, I would call it maybe similar in any type of physical condition where it's a red flag and there is some part of you that is out of alignment. Mm. And so it's just looking at where's that misalignment and how do I realign back?
The reason that I asked that is because was it something about this specific set of symptoms where this specific type of flower essence helped resolve that? Or were you taking a bunch of different flower essences at that time?
I was taking a bunch of flower essences at the time that were probably going to all different kinds of knots and roots and like the whole picture, you know, like little rootlets and the deep core stuff. But I was targeting that area of my body for sure.
Okay. So, okay. Now, what is the difference between like flower essences and herbal remedies for listeners? Because before we proceed in the rest of this conversation, I think it's best that we establish what flower essences actually are.
Right. So I consider there's like three different types of plant medicine. And the really easy way to conceive of it is the parts of the plant that you're using is the parts that it helps in your body.
Okay.
So if you look at the whole plant, that would be the herbal remedy. Tea, infusion, tincture, capsules, roots, stems, leaves, flowers, seeds, all part of it, right? And that's working on the whole physical body. Then you look at a distillation of the essential oils. So the stuff that's smelly. That's like the blood or the immune system of a plant.
Okay.
So when you put that into a massage oil, it boosts your circulation and your immune system, right? And then you have the flower essence, which is simply the life force or the energy of a flower. It's like the consciousness of a flower that is operating on our consciousness level. So they've done studies where when we leave this temple of our body, you can actually weigh in grams your consciousness. Mm. So that's actually what we're working with.
Grams or something like that?
It's right. And it's the part of you that animates the flesh body. Mm. So that's what flower essences are primarily working on. So, and that's like very subtle medicine. In energy medicine, we'd say your body is the screen. And then all your ethereal and energy bodies are the projector. Mm. So if something lands in your physical body, it's just a red flag to go back and look at
the emotions, something metaphysical.
Right.
Yeah.
And if something is manifested in the physical body, you don't want to just rely on flower essences alone. Then you want the herbs, right? You want the more physical remedy to partner with whatever the root cause remedy is.
Mm. Did you have an affinity for homeopathy when you begun looking into flower essences, or was this something that you've discovered over time, how it relates directly? I mean, it relates to a lot of things. It relates to The Secret Life of Plants, Veda Austin's work, Masaru Emoto's work, Gerald Pollack. There's so many threads that my head goes on when thinking about the implications of flower remedies, but let's start with homeopathy, how it relates to homeopathy.
I did not really understand homeopathy when I met flower essences. Probably lucky. I probably would have taken that direction and just studied homeopathy. Flower essences are super similar to homeopathy, but it's from living, right? From the living plants. They're very simpatico. They get along really well. And they're a very similar form of remedy, slightly different in how they operate too.
How do you make them?
It's called a solar infusion process.
Okay.
It's super simple.
Can you share?
Yeah. So the light from the sun is like a catalyst. It's a driver. It drives the energy out of the plants into water. Water's like a recording device, right? And some people, you know, that could seem woo-woo to some people, but when you look at like, well, how does the magnetic tape on a cassette work? Or how does the rainbow stuff on the back of a DVD work? Or record player? Like nobody really knows, you know? So like, it's not that far of a stretch that water can hold 44,000 pieces of information in a cluster, right? Water is a recording device. Then you add alcohol. Alcohol is a preservative. And so essentially you've got this like bottled up potion of vibrating life force, that carries within it information that is, if we think about it in terms of technology, like an upgrade or a download or like a, you know, upgrade to your system. When you put that in your body or on your body, your body and its innate intelligence knows where to take it. It also knows how to magnify it. So if you, you know, one of the things they never teach us in science class is that there's a giant crystal in the middle of our head, which is our pineal gland. And as human beings, we are like these giant walking crystals in the sense that we can take in information and energy and magnify it. So if somebody walked in the room now and they were like super angry, you and I can magnify that energy. Or if they walk in and they're super joyful, we can also magnify that energy. So in a sense, when you bring in these flower essences, it's a partner, it's a marriage. It isn't like the flower essences are doing something to me.
Right.
It's like the, your innate intelligence and the innate intelligence of the plant work together to harmonize and magnify your potential.
Okay. That makes sense. And when you talk about water storing memory being woo, I don't think so at all anymore. I think like Gerald Pollack and Gilbert Ling and other people have sort of shown this empirically in a lab setting that water has all of these incredible properties that we, I mean, we're just on the precipice of something huge when it comes to water research.
Right.
And I think a lot of people in the holistic health space, you know, as I've shared with you, I'm dealing with my own healing situation right now. And I am 100% certain that these physical symptoms that I'm experiencing are related to something emotional. So what is it about us that flowers themselves are so potent in helping us resolve that energetic? Or I guess, what is it about flowers that helps us as human beings resolve those sort of metaphysical emotional ailments, if you will?
Part of it is the fact that flowers are incredibly pure, super pristine. Like there isn't a wrong, bad, angry, ugly flower, right? Or maybe there's an ugly
There's some pretty gnarly looking flowers, but
but they're still cool, right?
They're still cool though, right.
So if you think of it in terms of like there is floral or botanical Wi-Fi, and the flowers or the plants or the trees are like the antenna. We are not on a rock flying through space, right? We can agree that the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. There is a sentience there.
Right.
There is a living quality, right?
Right.
So that wisdom comes through in various forms, through the antenna, which are like, which are the flowers and plants. Essentially what it's doing for us is when you introduce it into your system, a lot of things, it's doing a lot of things, but when you, like, let's say you choose to take birth, you have a family lineage, right? So we are operating with inside each of the DNA in each of the cells. We have a cellular memory. We carry up to 6 to 8 generations back in our family lineage. So the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, all the stuff, right? That, you know, we have a thought, we think it's unique, but actually it's what our great-great-grandfather thought. So one of the things that these remedies are doing is turning down the volume on the things that are simply lineage and turning up the volume on our true nature. There's like a separation between us and our family. We can appreciate it, but we don't, it doesn't have to become us. And then there are a whole slew of experiences that we have in this life. None of us, or very, very few of us, actually see reality as it is,
right?
We see through all these filters.
All of our projections, emotional trauma, et cetera, experiences. Yeah.
That's what flower remedies are designed to do, is turn down or like soften the filters from childhood experiences and turn up the volume on clear seeing and the ability to get closer to what actual truth is.
So I took your test that you have online, and we'll throw that in the show notes. And I've always struggled with feelings of unworthiness, and it was interesting for me. What came up is two different forms of love, I guess. Like one is infinite love, and then
or fierce compassion.
Okay, you're. I almost want to play this during the episode. You're reading your assessment of my test that I took, was so spot on with what I'm dealing with in my life that it like actually was kind of scary. Maybe that's why I think you have this like mysterious energy. I don't know. But what like, okay, so all the test was is me picking which flowers in an assortment of four different flowers, I think, in a series of slides, which flowers stood out to me the most. And so is this a process of us already having that intuitive understanding of which plant or which flower is best for us? And that's the pairing that you talked about.
5,000,000%.
Okay. 5,000,000%.
You know exactly what you need.
Yeah.
And you speak that language.
Yeah.
We all do. We just forget.
What is that language?
I mean, it's so cool because we can trust our senses. It's like what our eyes are drawn to, that's what we need. What smells good to us, that's what we need. What tastes good to us, that's what we need. Like we're designed to move towards what heals us.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
I mean, it's super cool. It's just, how have we become so disconnected from that? Like if all it took for me to learn what I need, and like even reading what those bottles say, not even the essences themselves, but just reading, I'm like, yeah, I do need more compassion for myself. I do need more love for myself. Yeah, I do need a little bit more awareness because I feel like my awareness is split all over the place. I need to like be able to focus in. How have we become so disconnected from that?
I mean, for so many reasons. Modern day life, it's like, what isn't there trying to disconnect us? You know, yeah. There's like the EMFs. Our crazy lifestyles, we don't eat at the right time. We're thinking too much. We don't know how to unhook our awareness, like unhook our attention from our thoughts.
Yeah.
We don't know how to simply rest in the moment and be and just be okay and listen. Like I find that a lot of the people I meet, you know, it's like there's this kind of constant chatter going in their minds.
That's me.
They can barely listen to you. You give them one sentence and you can see they're just like, they can hardly, you know, they already start to glaze over. And then I try to tell myself, like, it isn't because what I'm saying is boring.
No.
It's because it's like there's so much freaking noise up here.
Yeah.
They can't take any more in. So it's like, how do we invite in more spaciousness?
Mm.
Whether it's through modalities like flower remedies or practices that allow us to unhook from the spinning wheel up here.
Mm-hmm. You're big on meditation as well. Do you meditate with the flower essences?
I try to meditate as often as I can.
Do you find that you're like always in a meditative state?
Always in a meditative state? No, impossible. Not impossible, but always looking to come back. You know, it's like when your child runs off into the street and you put him back on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
You run off and you put him back on the sidewalk. That's my constant practice.
Okay. How do you do that?
Through awareness and through, you know, there's two kinds of thinking, right? So there's the kinds of thinking that's like, I need to solve this problem, right? You're like, what color lights should I pick? How should I set up the camera? How do I do the mic? Right. This is like
saying that because that's what I was doing before this.
Right. It's like,
I'm a one man show.
It's like problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the kind of thinking that gets us in trouble.
Yeah.
Why does she say it like that? I wonder what she's thinking. I wonder if that means that this, wait, did they, and then all of a sudden your emotions get triggered
mm-hmm.
and then your emotions trigger more thoughts. And then you're in this like bad trip.
Mm-hmm.
That's self-created, right? And we do that to ourselves a lot on varying degrees. It can be minor, like a minor distraction, like a fly, or it can be like a rage,
mm-hmm.
or we just need to like go use a vice or something to numb out. So there's a whole range of experience. And part of it is having the spaciousness and compassion to just allow whatever it is to arise without judgment. For myself, I find, and maybe this is a Midwestern thing, I don't know, you can tell me. There's the emotion, but almost worse than the emotion is when we judge ourselves for it.
Yeah.
Like we clamp down, like you shouldn't be feeling that way. You should be Mr. Nice Guy. You shouldn't be angry. You shouldn't be jealous. You shouldn't be XYZ, right? you should be like nice and perfect. And then it's like you can't even get through the first step of just experiencing and dissolving what arose. Mm. Because in the judgment, you're like latching onto it. So it just becomes this like, oh, and then you fizzle out, you know?
I think much of like, at least my experience of growing up in the Midwest is that there's a lot of superficiality where people want to maintain a certain image and not be real. And that's something that I appreciated. And also it was super shocking about going to school in New York is that people just tell it like it is, like almost to like a degree that's like, oh, holy shit. Can't even say like hi to people walking down the street. Fuck off, you know, like that type of energy. But it's like, whoa, man, I was just trying to say hi. But I think that superficiality, at least in my experience, and that's where I totally agree with you, is that it doesn't allow for authentic expression. And, you know, I also want to say that when it comes to like the cross section that is the truth community with like the new age community, with the holistic health community, whatever, spiritual community, is that there's quite a few people that either, whether they express it directly or not, sort of view anger as bad. And like in my experience, you know, I was sharing with you before this, that like this physical thing that I'm dealing with right now is 100% related to emotions, and it's related to anger for sure. It's because when I was younger, I had a lot of rage, and I would project that rage onto people, and it would cause a lot of pain. And then as I started to become more awake, and I hate that term, I then stuffed all that anger down inside of me, and then it manifested as physical symptoms and physical pain in my body, specifically gut stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like coming back around over the last year and a half to understanding that no, anger is a healthy expression that you need to have. And in my direct experience, just sitting with an emotion and feeling it and allowing it to be felt all the way through helps dissolve any attachment you have to it and any negative experience you have in your body with it. Is that your experience too?
I always say that the observation is the dissolution. Like that practice alone, the observation is the dissolution. It's like you don't have to get it out. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to move it. You don't have to crush it. You don't have to put frosting over a pile of crap, you know, just looking at it.
Mm.
And sometimes it takes time. Like I remember when I first started my spiritual practices, I would actually track in a book rage.
Really?
If I, you know, something would happen because I was doing specific practices to elicit some kind of purification. And I knew, man, if I did this particular practice in the morning, by the afternoon, I'd be like off the handle about something. And so I would track in a book how long it took me to like really let that anger go. And sometimes it would take like 4 or 5 days, you know, like my roommate would say something and I would just like burn in there like resentment for like 5 days. And I tracked it. And over time, it was 4 days and then 3 days and 2 days and 1 day and hours and hour and minutes, you know. So I can say from experience, it does actually dissolve and change. Mm-hmm. It does actually permanently shift. And that being said, you know, how many years later, it was like 20 some years ago, I started doing those practices. I still have anger that is unexpressed, you know, that's stuck in the body. I had a chiropractor friend. He's an old school AK guy, Tom Rozelle. And he was like, oh, you got anger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because, I mean, sometimes you just feel angry, like something will happen and you want to project a story onto it. Like, oh, I'm angry because of this. Might not be. You're just angry, right?
I think a lot of mine stems from something previous. Like the situation that is happening may like slightly trigger an angry response, but it's an anger that was already inside of me.
Right.
Yeah.
And probably from a very, very young age for some reason, right? Mm-hmm. And not to blame childhood experiences, not to blame parents, not at all. It's more just like to understand why that is arising.
So you talk about flower essences, or you I guess you just talk about like the imprint that our lineage can have on us. How do you distinguish that? So this is separate of flower essences. How do you distinguish generational stuff that you're carrying from like stuff that is you from your lifetime? Like, let's say again, back to the anger example, how do you know that that's not something that you're carrying from like your lineage or from past lifetimes?
Right.
What do you need to know?
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
That's where you get caught in trying to figure it out or thinking that you can figure your way out of it. It's so freaking not linear. I had this experience when I was, it's weird, right? This just explains like the weirdness of things sometimes and the irrational kind of thing. So I had this friend once. He was this guy in Special Forces. And when I bought the building that I own right now, it's a huge building. We were doing some digging and, you know, we already had these huge holes in the ground. And I thought we could put a safe in there. We could hide stuff in there. And then I thought, you know, I really want like a hole big enough so that like a human could fit. So if this particular friend of mine who's in the Special Forces, if he needed somewhere to hide, I would have a place for him to go. What?
Mm-hmm.
Like that is so random.
That's brilliant.
That is like so random.
Did it just like pop into your head?
Yeah. And then my Justin, who works with me, one day I came to the office and he had like filled in the hole. And I was like, in a panic, you know, like what? And like angry and like, what am I going to do? And I'm not going to have a place for this guy to hide. And like, they went come after him and I'm not going to have a place. And I had to snap myself and go like, and what on earth are you talking about in your head here? It's like, this makes no sense.
And this is with you, with your like flower essence, lotus way stuff, right? And you're like thinking about how to hide a friend who's in the Special Forces.
Yeah. And so sometimes it's so irrational,
the
stuff we come up with and the stuff that we feel, but in the moment it feels super real. That's the thing, is you feel like you're in that reality. It feels real. So yeah, I mean, just to say that experiences can take us off guard. And I don't think we really have to figure them out. It's more just like, how do we notice it and go, oh, okay, let me have a sense of humor about this.
How do you, I'm like really curious about this. We'll get back to flower essences, but how do you learn to detach and observe yourself feeling your emotions?
I mean, it's actually totally related to flower essences because they are one of the keys that makes it easier. So most people, when they first start taking the remedies, they're like, oh man, it just feels like there's more space between me and the reaction. So it helps you rather than, you know, that feeling of like being totally in it. It's running you.
Right.
Then there's the opposite feeling where it's like there's some space between you and the reaction and you can just watch it. So flower remedies can help you become the observer more so that you have just enough space to go like, oh, that's interesting. I'm doing that thing. And they help you see your blind spots. That's the other thing. Like when I first started taking flower essences 20 some years ago, I was like, I'm so peaceful. Like this is what I told myself, right? I'm the most peaceful person in the world. And I took a remedy and I was like, I am not. I'm so impatient. And I get to like a red light and I wanted to turn green already. Like I'm one of the most impatient people I know.
So that's where you were, it was illuminating where you were lying to yourself essentially.
Yeah, and lying to yourself is one thing, but sometimes it's just like
just blind spot.
You don't
I guess.
Even see okay. it. You don't even know. Yeah, both.
Both. Okay. So when I like if I were to go walk in nature here in Texas right now, probably not this time of year, but let's say in the spring. If I was truly in tune with the language of plants, or maybe I already am because I took your quiz and I am, I would be able to point out which one is best for me. And is that what you do? You just like walk around and say, wow, that one is calling to me. And then you pick that one.
Pretty much. It's just the difference is before I go out, I have a sense of responsibility for my community. And my intention and my wish is to find precisely the flowers that humanity and the people that I can reach and the people that I can reach through other people will need now and in the next 10 to 20 some years.
How do you determine that? Like what humanity needs? Like, how do you make sure it's not what you need versus what humanity needs? Is it just by intention?
That's such a cool question. So one, there's two answers. One would be, you can't know, right? In the same way that we couldn't know what was going to happen in 2020. Could we have ever imagined? No. So you kind of can't know. So you have to trust the magic, and you have to trust this sense of wisdom of the earth that you will find it, and then you don't doubt it. And then the other part of the picture is, and if it is what I need, then isn't that also a reflection of what other people need? So like, I have this dark red formula. I actually created that because I was like having a rip-roaring heartbreak. Just like terrible longing, missing, heart ripped out of me. And I thought, and I had never quite felt that way before. I was in my 40s and I was like, geez, how is it that I've gotten to my 40s and I've like never felt this intensity?
Okay. So when it comes to, let's say 2020 to now, so the last 4 years, is there like a common theme of what people want? I know that you, when I read your bio, you talk about helping to find remedies that help birth, I think you said, courage, or bring about courage in people, right? What was the other one? There's courage and there's one other.
Empowerment. Thing. That's this year.
Yeah. Okay.
That's this year and going forward.
You said empowerment?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So is there like a common thread where other people who have the, who are fluent in the language of nature as you are coming to the same conclusions as you in general, or?
I don't know. I don't have a lot of friends like me. I have friends like you, okay. And we're on the same page.
That's cool. But you don't have a lot of like flower essence reading? Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I know another one, Lauren Geertsen. Are you connected with her?
No.
I've connected with her after this. Okay. Cool. She's a plant intuitive. That's what she says. And she does flower essences too.
Awesome.
But is there like a common thread?
I mean, I see it in humanity.
Mm.
So like 2020 hits and it's like, you know, I don't care which side of the fence you're on. You need something to detox really quickly. Like you need to get stuff out of your body. You need to like make sure that all your physical organs and systems are energetically capable of releasing toxins very, very quickly. Right. Because it's a kind of humanitarian experience. Mm. After that, it was like, the healing of where do I belong? Am I really a dirty vector? Am I something pure and innocent? Who are my people? And can I allow myself to grieve the separation of all this weird stuff that was going on? Right. And then it was more about, can we reconnect? And how do we reconnect in new ways? Connectivity, as well as like trying to help the physical body come back online from all of these assaults. If you can read in between the lines of what I'm saying. Then there was this period, and it's still happening right now. All of this is actually still happening right now, which is, what are the ways that I prevent myself from loving and nourishing myself?
Mm.
How am I too perfectionist? How do I not let myself take risks? What am I afraid of failure? Where do I say like, oh, fuck it. And I just harden my heart because I've been so disappointed. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Even though you do care, right? So how do we soften and like open more? Then there is, what is my truth? Can I stand in my truth? Can I tell myself the truth? Where am I not telling myself the truth? And can I look at that? Where am I not telling other people the truth? And what's my purpose? Where do I always come back to like, this is the most meaningful thing? What roots me so hard and fast into what's real, that I can use it as a divining rod? And then it's like, okay, now that I'm clear with that, how do I build a legacy? How do I expand my vision? How do I take charge? How do I become a greater leader? Where's my tribe? Who's going to help me do this? Or who am I going to help do this? How are we going to do this together, right? And really getting a deep sense of value of who you are as a human being right now in this time and age. And then this year going forward, what I'm seeing is, and when I figured this out, you know, because I'm looking at all the flowers we're going to be releasing this year, I'm like, didn't we already work out the fear thing? Like, I'm so bored of fear, you know?
Right. And that's what you see coming up quite
a bit. And the answer is no.
Wow.
Like, no, we didn't work out our fears, because there's so many like weird subconscious, what about the fear of persecution?
Mm.
You know, or you know, just weird stuff that's stuck in our systems.
A lot of people in like the truth community, whatever you want to call it, are like fearful of famine or fearful of like civil war in the United States and things like this.
And honestly, this past summer, I collected a flower and that was one of the things that was for was fear of famine. And then I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Are we going to, but I had to remind myself that in the, you know, in the 2020, it was like, is it really happening or is it a fear of it happening? Mm. So is it really famine or is it, I didn't get my like big gulp from Circle K and, you know, or for me, like I didn't get my bar of dark chocolate today.
Right.
So like, what fears would prevent you from taking charge on the most like bold and fearless level? Or let's say there was like a terrorist attack, whether it's real or not real, false flag or real, or civil war or whatever, right? How are you going to be? And for me, it's like the sense of being prepared. Of course, there's all the other kind of preparations you can do, but the ultimate preparation is, how do I be a bigger leader? Mm. How do I stand in my truth? How do I trust myself impeccably, implicitly? How do I not doubt myself? How can I just like let it rip and say what I need to say and not worry about, you know, loss or abandonment or all those things that we worry about?
Mm. I feel like 2020 to 2024, I think what you said is so perceptive in that fear is not gone. And I think it's just illuminating the deep, deep, deep fears for us now. Like that's what I feel with 2024. I mean, I look at this healing crisis I'm going through now as the sort of last leg of me having to deal with some of my darkest wounds that I've experienced in my life. And it's all a big blessing and a gift though. And another thing that came up when you were describing like, you know, how will I respond, right, to this, like, let's say hypothetical terrorist attack thing that happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the understanding that we are co-creating this reality together. So with that, knowing that you call plants the antennae of Mother Nature itself, of Pachamama, of the earth, right? And I'd like to think that earth has our best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is it helping to guide us through the use of flower essences towards that future which is more harmonious or not, I guess?
It's a great question. I mean, you see it when you go down busy freeways. Where are the wildflowers? They're right next to the freeway.
In Texas, have you been here in the spring?
I don't think so.
It's gorgeous. It like shocked me because I've only lived here for now coming on 2 years. And so only experienced one spring so far. This will be my second one coming up. And there's like pink flowers, like blue bonnets, like red ones. Yeah, like just like so many different colors. And I did not expect it coming from Texas. But bring up an interesting point that yes, they were like, this is as I was driving along I-35 like in the median. I'm like, oh my goodness, this big grassy median has a bunch of these beautiful flowers in it.
Why do you think that is?
To sort of respond to the man-made creations that are inherently toxic, or I don't want to say they're inherently toxic, but can be disconnected from nature.
Or even just think about like people stuck in traffic or people driving by full of all their like suitcases of stress. Those flowers are designed to help mitigate and soften as we're driving by.
Not only visually though, right? You're talking on
energetically.
On an energetic level.
100%.
Right. So you think about like forest bathing. There's this guy that I know named Dean Wade who I think resolved non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, if I remember correctly, by just forest bathing.
Mm.
So is this like a little micro dose of forest bathing as we're driving along I-35.
Yeah, 100%. And so what's so cool about forest bathing and also flower essences and Mother Nature as a whole is the exponentiality, because it's a reflection of our human potential as well. And that is, you know, when you look at, if you spend one day in the wild, let's say you and Kylie and kids go camping, your cortisol is going to go down, your white blood cells will go up. So your immune system is strong, your stress goes down. How long do you think that lasts in your body? If it's like one for one, right? Tit for tat, it'd be like one day, one day.
Okay. I would say maybe a couple days.
1 week.
1 week.
Yeah. So let's say you guys are out there and you're like, man, this is so nice. Okay, Kylie, let's stay an extra day. You're out there 2 days in the wild. How long does it last in your body?
There's like an exponential effect here. Maybe 4 weeks, 3 weeks.
Bingo. 4 weeks.
4 weeks. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So there's this exponential quality. Of course, forest bathing could heal your body. Mm. Which, and I think that's what's so fascinating about it is also our exponentiality as human beings. You know, there was a study in Boston, 10-year longitudinal study, where they looked at if your friend's friend's friend becomes wildly happy, it has more of a beneficial effect on you than if someone put $5,000 cash in your pocket.
Wow.
Conversely, if you become wildly happy, it has more of a beneficial effect on your friend's friend's friend. This is someone who you do not know than if someone put that money in their pocket. And there's a heightened effect when you're in close geographical proximity. So if you have like a freaking awesome day and you're like dancing naked in your bedroom.
Is that an awesome day?
No, it sounds like it. Or like you know, you are like surrounded by your family and your kids and you're laughing.
I was just kidding. But okay. I get what you mean. Yeah.
Somebody down the block who's super freaking depressed might get hit by a wave of that joy and like, oh, suddenly feel better.
Mm-hmm. And I think like, you know, a lot of people in this space are coming to understand that as it pertains human to human. Like you look at the HeartMath Institute or just like the idea of heart-mind coherence and people collectively focusing on one thing to bring about better outcomes for that given thing, like crime rates in an area.
Right.
But I think we just tend to overlook that reciprocal effect that nature has on us too. Like we talk about being out in the sun, like, oh, you're getting vitamin D, you're helping your body synthesize vitamin D. And it's like, no, it's so much more than vitamin D and putting your bare feet on bare earth. It's like, oh, the ionic exchange between you and the earth. It's like, no, it's so much more than just the ionic exchange between you and earth, or driving along the highway and seeing these beautiful flowers. Like, yes, that's very visually pleasing, but I can't help think back to the book, The Secret Life of Plants. And I know I didn't make you do anything. I had you sit down while I was setting up the room to watch like a 10-minute segment of, what's his name?
Cleve Baxter,
just showing these various, the intelligence, the innate intelligence, the metaphysical, etheric intelligence and connection that we have to plants and plants have to each other and plants have to other beings. Like even in that video, he showed that plants would respond even if they're completely separate of these, I think these shrimp that were like poured into boiling water based on some random algorithm that would randomly do it. The plants would respond when hooked up to a lie detector test. They would actually show some sort of vulnerability and shock and emotion related to that experience. And some of the other experiences where they established that plants would, like house plants would start expressing certain things based on the thought from their owner that they were going to come home. And then they would hook that up to electrodes to a garage door opener, and the plant, based on the just feeling that the owner was coming home, based on the owner's thought, would help open the garage door. But kind of like rambling on here, but it's just like so cool as it relates to our communal relationship with plants that I think is ever present that we just, with the creation of our own mind, feel disconnected from.
You know, you walk out the door and how many of us are actually aware of the plants around us? Mm. And, you know, Cleve Baxter was a CIA polygraph expert and it blew his mind. Like the first time was when he thought about getting some matches and lighting a leaf on fire. He didn't even have matches in his hand. He didn't light it on fire. He actually didn't. But even just the thought of him doing that, the plant registered suffering. And that's what started all those experiments, right? Mm. He was just tripped out by that. One of my favorite ones that, I don't know if they put in that video, he had a colleague who they were going to do a surprise birthday party for. And there was a plant in this guy's office. And so he had all the polygraph set up to his plant, this friend of his. And the guy went like hours away to a different state and they did like a surprise, right? So it was like happy stress, but it was still stress because the guy didn't know it was coming. There was all these people in his house. And in that exact moment, even though they were like hundreds of miles apart, his plant registered that level of stress.
Wow.
So it's like the plants that you tend to or that are in your sphere feel compassion for you, even when you're on the other side of the state, you know? So, I mean, I think it helps us see the world in a different way because we tend to, like you said, feel separated. We feel separate. We feel lonely. We feel alone, which equates to pain and suffering for so many of us. I'm trying to rewire that one. On this trip especially, I'm like, can alone mean freedom? Can alone mean connection? Can alone mean expansion? But we've not seen it that way. But when you look around and think, holy crap, Mother Nature is like conspiring for me. There are all these compassionate, sentient, you know, consciousnesses around me. But because I'm going so fast and they appear to be motionless, I just ignore them.
Right.
It's just like in the periphery. It's just like background, right?
I was thinking that as I was watching that video, because I have a puppy, right? I'm looking around at my houseplants. I'm like, no, these are just as alive and sentient, and they can feel and they can understand and empathize and show compassion and show stress just as much as my dog can. I just, with my limited human perspective, I hesitate to say limited, but my current understanding, and especially as we're in the illusion with these five senses, can't perceive that at that level, but they are very much alive just like we are.
And you see that through like time-lapse photography. Louis Schwartzberg, he's incredible photographer. He and I worked on a book together, Flower Revolution. And you see in his videos, like the way that flowers dance and open and move when you just speed it up, right? We just don't see it. They look static. They look like they're not moving, right. But they're actually like dancing and moving just like we do.
You think that's like inviting us to be more still when we become aware of that? And to move
100%.
In a much more intentional way?
Yes, and also develop a different form of listening. Mm. I mean, you can go in your backyard and pick whichever tree or plant you are drawn to and sit there for 10 minutes and say, like, I'm going to humble myself and I feel silly and this is weird, but is there something you want to tell me? Do you have a message for me? And oftentimes it can be surprising what will pop into your mind, you know, almost like you're sitting down with your best friend and your best friend's got some advice for you. Mm-hmm. And that might sound crazy, but shit, like, what else do we want to do? Get on pharmaceuticals,
right.
You know, go get drunk. Like there's no other better. It's like if we could develop the more attunement to soft and subtle, I think we'd find that we are happier.
If you're enjoying this episode, please consider sharing it with at least one friend or family member who you think could benefit from hearing it. You help us grow and reach more people by sharing it with those around you. Also, be sure to head to the show notes to check out our membership offerings, membership marketplace, and more. We all know that big ag is poisoning our food supply and big pharma's so-called medicine is straight up poison. What most people aren't aware of, though, is that most supplements are also filled with artificial sweeteners, dyes, GMOs, glyphosate, and a host of other toxic ingredients, even many of the more natural supplements. My good buddy James Benefico dedicated his life to crafting the world's cleanest, most nutritious organic supplements after a pre-workout energy drink caused heart palpitations so severe that he almost landed up in the ER. Organic Muscle was born, revolutionizing sports nutrition by using exclusively non-GMO ingredients from USDA organic farms. Since then, tens of thousands of people, including myself, have leveled up their fitness and their health with Organic Muscle's award-winning natural pre-workout. There's no jitters, no heart palpitations, no itchy skin, just nourishing organic food and herb-based ingredients for clean, sustained energy, strength, endurance, and recovery. Numerous studies have shown that tonka ali is the most effective herb in the world for naturally boosting testosterone levels. And we know that testosterone levels are depleting all over the world because of what's put in the food supply, what we're exposed to,
Organic Muscle has the world's first fully organic tonka ali supplement. I only support and promote things that I actually use, and I can say I legitimately use Organic Muscle products. Use code FORWARD15 at checkout for 15% off at organicmuscle.com.
Okay, so you said something there about pharmaceuticals that sort of sparked a thought in me, just related to pharmaceuticals in general. From my understanding, they're typically just trying to mimic the healing properties of herbs or maybe even flower essences, but they're almost like stripping the actual energetic essence away from the plant itself. And that's where it's like so frustrating that so many, because it's rare today that people aren't on any pharmaceuticals. Like if you were to go to a checkup at a doctor by age like 35, they'd be shocked that you're not on any pharmaceutical products. And it's like, we have the powerful healing modalities right here in nature itself. And I think about like in dandelions, they pop up in our manicured lawns and we look at them as a weed, but I feel like that's nature calling out to us like, no, you need to cleanse your liver because you're not cleansing properly and you're spraying all these toxic substances all over your yard. And I sort of look at it as nature calling out to us to turn back to it and become more intimate with it. But
you're right.
Yeah.
Mother Nature will always put in your backyard exactly the remedies that you need. And Americans need dandelion root. You want to know what the flower essences were?
What is it?
Relaxing neck and shoulder tension. Like what American doesn't have that?
Literally every one of them.
Right.
Like every single American.
Meanwhile, we're trying to like obliterate them right from the lawns. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you'll have something grow up in your backyard, like a kind of an accident or a mistake. It's not a mistake. It's something very particularly for you. Mm-hmm. It's a gift.
Yeah.
Pharmaceuticals, on the other hand, it's kind of like when you look at like a standardized extract, right? One plant, and this is talking about herbal remedies, not flower remedies, but there'll be like hundreds of constituents. And then to standardize it, they just like pump up one constituent, you know, the driver of one particular activity. But you have hundreds of, it's so much more complex than that. It's like all these other supportive mechanisms that are working holistically with your body. It's kind of like, you know, when people say flowers have energy and then you put that in your body, like that sounds crazy. And then I tell them about like the cell phone, like how does your cell phone work, right? And when you were a kid, if somebody had said you're going to have this box, it's going to emit these invisible waves, you can't see it, but all the pieces of information of your life that are the most important to you, the pictures of your kids, the videos, your text, your poetry, your music, your podcasts, your videos, everything that means something to you is now riding like a magic carpet on invisible waves through space. And there's so much complexity to that. And then traveling great distances, we have no freaking idea how that works. Really? Do we?
No clue. And what's so crazy about that is that we know that that's a thing. And then somehow we look at connections, like in terms of overlapping, let's say the human biofield, right? Like all of us have an actual measurable and observable biofield, our aura that surrounds our body, which is an electromagnetic field. We look at that and we're like, no, that's woo-woo. That's woo-woo. But it's like we have technology that human beings created, probably based off the technology that is inherent to us, of which we still don't fully understand.
Right.
And we look at that like, yep, that makes sense. Like I can send this hour and a half long video, upload it, and it takes like 20 minutes and send it to someone who lives, you know, my podcast editor lives in the Pacific Northwest. Like we look at that and like, oh yeah, of course. But when it comes to us, mm-hmm. we completely overlook it.
Right. And then meanwhile, you have like all the, you know, internet underneath our feet, the mushroom network and the like mycelial network that's like, you know, pumping energy all over, and plants are sharing information with each other. Yeah, and we're the same way. But we have this system, unfortunately, that likes to isolate things out and say it's just this one thing and pull one thread out of a whole giant big picture. And I think that's where we get into trouble.
Yeah. So when you're looking at like the subtle energetic properties of a flower. Is there a uniform agreement amongst you and other people? I know you said you don't know many who are into flower essences or like deal with flower essences. Is there a sort of uniform consensus on the energetic properties of a given flower? Like you talk about for dandelion root, right? Like you say that that's good for neck and shoulder tension.
I mean, that's part of the cool, like, complexity of it is not necessarily, you could have three different flower essence practitioners collect the same species of flower and get different information. I see that also as who are the people you are serving and what are the words and language that they're going to resonate with? And so, you know, maybe you say pomegranate is for this and I say it's for this. But it's because the people that we reach need to hear it or experience it in that particular way. And so it's like kind of channeling the lineage of what that particular group needs.
Mm, got it. What's the coolest thing you've seen with respect to flower essences and someone using them?
I just say, like, what's the most recent one? One woman said, I was terrified of flying. I never thought I'd get on a plane. She said, you know, within a matter of months of taking flower essences, I got on a plane, I moved to a different city. I changed my whole life. Another woman said, these are just like stories that somebody shared last month in the Flower Revolution group. One woman said, I don't even drive to work. I work from home, so I hardly ever drive, but I just like randomly decided to take a week or two off of work. I drove across country all by myself so that I could write my book. You know, I mean, just crazy kind of cool, like liberating, cutting through self-limitation kind of. It improves relationships. It helps people sleep. One really cool thing is that friend of mine who I was telling you about who's in the Special Forces. I watched him go through an experience of having the flower essences pull out all of the residuals and the fascia from being stabbed, shot, bombed,
wow,
stuck under a burning car within a matter of an hour. Like kind of re-experienced everything and then it left the fascia.
Was this taking it orally, like taking the essences orally in water or?
It was interesting. He came in for a massage and my friend Lisa, who designed,
she's your chocolate lady,
she's
right?
She's the chocolate lady, yeah. She grabbed whatever flower elixir we had on the shelf. She didn't even look at it. Which one did she give him? You're not really supposed to give people orchids like right off the bat. She just grabbed.
Why are
grabbed
those known to be more potent?
They're pretty strong.
What? Why is that?
They're not growing in the earth. They're like growing off of air.
Is that really true about orchids?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
I mean, they have a symbiotic relationship with whatever tree or whatever they're on. But
it,
their roots aren't in the earth.
Whoa, so would that mean that like their energy is more fifth, sixth, and seventh chakra if we're going to align it based on that and less like one to two, like earthy and more etheric and like, you know, up there, out there type of energy?
Yeah, it's an interesting way to think about it. And there are orchids that grow on the ground too, but orchids in general are really powerful. So she grabs this elixir off the shelf and it's one from Costa Rica that is for fear of persecution. He gulps down the glass of water, gets the massage, and then goes into this like full-on body reaction, body memories coming out experience. Then I worked with other flower essences that are good for trauma to just keep pulling it out until it all came out. And those were external, just misting.
Wow.
So, you know, you think if you can remove that level of trauma in an hour or two, not that it's a thing about speed, but what can't we do?
Oh, they work super fast. Yeah, there's so many threads that we could pull on related to Veda Austin's work, like, you know, all the things that I said earlier. And it's just so amazing to me. It gives you a deeper appreciation for like even the lawn in my backyard. You know what I mean? Like just like probably non-native grass to Texas, but it's like we've chosen not to spray anything, even like the more natural things that you can spray on your lawn to get rid of weeds. And I see all these weeds popping up and I'm like, you know, frustrated to a certain degree when I go mow my lawn, because I'm like, oh, this doesn't look uniform and doesn't look like it's part of my lawn. But it's like, maybe these are things that are popping up intentionally. I have no idea what they are, but maybe these little tiny, teeny tiny yellow flowers that are popping up intentionally. I actually have caught my daughter and my son eating some of them. So maybe that was like an intuitive thing that they felt like, oh, I should probably eat this.
For sure.
Yeah.
A lot of weeds are medicine.
We look at it as a problem. Isn't that ironic? Because it's kind of like how modern society...
That's how we view ourselves.
Right.
We have an emotion. We have a reaction. We have like a little inner tantrum, and it's like a problem. Mm. But actually, it's not. Mm. Like, can we just let it move through our body? Can we look at it without judging it? Can we look at it without clamping down and saying, like, you shouldn't be feeling that way, and just let it move through? Mm.
Yeah, it's like those little subtle things are the medicine.
And there's so many layers and spirals and stuff, but you do see improvement. You do see, I mean, from working with flower remedies for 20 some years and thousands of people over time, like people's physical appearance changes. Talk about changes, epigenetics, right? I mean, if I showed you before and after pictures, you can see it in 3 weeks. Like, they look like completely different people. You can see it, you know, in 6 months, 1 year, 5 years. Like, you see how people root into this sense of power of who they truly are. And what happens physically and energetically, you see it when we can just start letting go of, you know, or working through or dissolving some of the things that are holding us back.
It's because, like, you know, circling back, we're so disconnected from nature in our modern world, in Western countries especially. And so this is like a microdosed, sometimes megadosed version of reintroducing ourselves to nature. Sort of like, I guess, microdosing of forest bathing, I mm-hmm. guess you could say, of bringing the essence of plants into our lives so that we're reconnecting, recommuning with nature.
It's hard to get out there and spend all that time in nature. I mean, it's just hard, right? We live.
I love it though.
and the more you can get out in nature, or the more you can get in your garden, the more that it helps you. But if you're a person like me, who's an entrepreneur and I'm on my computer a lot, this is the next best way, like you said, to bring it in.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that when you're on technology more, there's a certain type of flower essence that is calling out to you more?
I mean, there's one particular flower that we just started putting in all of our remedies a few years ago because of all of us being on tech so often.
Wow.
And
it's in every one of them.
Now it is. Wow. Originally, it was only in our energy formula. Huh. And Lisa was like, why do you have this flower? Like, she just like didn't want it at all. She was like, we always do the quiz, right? We'd be at farmers markets. Nobody ever picks that flower. Like, it's like, no one picks it. Why do you have it? It was so funny. Until we went to Japan, and this was post Fukushima. Every single person we asked to do the quiz in Tokyo picked that flower.
No way.
And they were saying that there were like trace amounts of radiation in the water table at the time, you know? So then I was like, oh, interesting. It's kind of like when you're just a little bit ahead of your time and you don't really understand why you make the choices you do. And then later it starts to make sense. And then fast forward a couple of years when people really started using smartphones, everybody was picking that flower.
Wow.
We were oversaturated.
Which flower was it?
It's white yarrow. White yarrow is like unsurpassed at helping your body access deeper levels of energy when you're confronted with EMFs and all types of radiation.
Wow. And is that known in, like, quote, the scientific, or let's say even the alternative scientific community, or is it just like, no, you found this and it's shown itself to be very clear given the Fukushima situation and the situation of us being exposed to it more in the last 4 years?
I would say in the flower essence world, it's widely understood that is the yarrow's superpower. Wow. Herbally, you know, you give it to kids when they have fevers. There's a lot of functions for it herbally. But yeah. Isn't that cool?
That's so cool.
There's a flower for something like that.
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah. Let me ask this. Is there trends like that? I know there's trends in terms of the sentiments that are sort of coming through, the desire for more courage and more empowerment amongst mankind. But Is there trends similar to that that you see across populations of people in terms of the quiz that they take over time?
God, there's so many ways to answer that. One is, what are we ready to see in the moment, right? If someone has never taken flower essences before, it's kind of like resilience of what you're able to sit with, right? Or let's say they haven't done meditation practices or breathing and they're just, you know, just kind of getting in their toe into it. We can talk about, like, can you sleep or not? Do you feel joy or not? Are you stressed or not? That's a completely different conversation than when you're more stabilized and resilient and able to talk about, are you afraid of someone you love dying? Are you afraid of being betrayed or cheated on? Did you ever feel like you were abandoned? How's your relationship? You know, like, all those things. Those are not like things that we necessarily want to talk about when we first meet people. So there's like layers of what we can make space for inside of ourselves and be okay with looking at and working with. You could look at it in terms of, where do people live, right? So people in San Francisco, let's say, they have an excess of wood and water, so they get like too damp. So sometimes if you've got a friend in that area, you know, it's like you want to hang out, and at the last minute they're like, no, I'm just going to stay home. I can't get out because they're too like waterlogged, right? So they need flower essences that are like fire, that are going to like get them into action. Whereas where I'm from in the desert, there is no water and wood. It's all like air and fire and earth. So we need things that are more nourishing, that slow us down a little bit. So, you know, New York, everywhere you look, there's a different need based on the population, the collective consciousness, and the elements. Then the other cool thing is, where we collect flowers, different parts of the planet have different themes, let's say. Like all the flowers we collected from Costa Rica are all about like weird, irrational, subconscious fears, different flavors. If you go to Iceland, it's like all the ways you can be like curious and wondrous and like a child. If you go to Southeast Asia, it's like prolific abundance, money-making, expansive, quick growth. You know, it's like depending on where you are, there's...
It makes sense, because like that's why I didn't want to interrupt. I wanted to let you finish. That relates to like irrational fears as it relates to Costa Rica. Like how many Westerners, like a shit ton, how many Westerners have moved to Costa Rica because they're fearful of what's going to happen in their country? As an example, right? Or Iceland, like playful, how many people talk about how that looks like another world? If there's any spot on the earth that looks like a totally different world, it would be Iceland.
Right.
That's interesting.
Isn't
that is
it?
Really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that when you take a vacation, let's say, or you take a trip somewhere, that it's not necessarily arbitrary. It's the same thing as like you move towards the flower that's going to benefit you, to heal you the most. You move towards a physical location that has the anchored in life force energies that you want to magnify inside of yourself.
Mm. God.
Like, for example, if you, okay, real quick, close your eyes and go back to a time in your childhood when you played around plants or flowers or trees. See if you can find a favorite. And then how would you describe it in three words without using color or fragrance? Just like how, what's the personality of that botanical or flower?
Vibrant, dreamy, awe-inspiring.
Wow. And what flower was it?
Blue orchid. Like a, you know, like the very lightish royal blue orchid.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then one more. Think of any sort of flower today that is just like particularly intriguing to you or interesting.
Foxglove.
And how would you describe that in three words?
Otherworldly, mysterious, funky.
Okay, so the childhood flower, if you're listening to the podcast, like quick write it down because you're going to want to know. I'm going to tell you what this means. So the childhood flower is the way that you bring your greatest gifts into the world. It's almost like your essence, awe-inspiring, dreamy, vibrant. Mm. And then the one that's particularly intriguing today is something that is a quality inside of yourself that you are exploring and wanting to expand more. So the part of you that is otherworldly, that is funky. That is, what was the other word you used?
Funky, otherworldly, and mysterious.
Mysterious, right? And you saw that quality in me because it's something inside of you also that is like wanting to expand. Like, what's the mystery of myself?
Wow.
Does that resonate?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Yeah, especially the funky piece of it too, because it's like, I think of that as very playful. So I look at a foxglove and I'm like, wow, like God, consciousness, source, whatever created that. Like what was it or he or whatever thinking when you made that? Like, that is such a funky looking flower. And I know there's other funkier ones, but yeah, I think of it as like playful, just like creative expression, you know, and like not being so rigid. And I mean, I majored in systems engineering at West Point and was in the Army and like all these like very like rigid cookie cutter, like box things. And I think that I'm wanting to invite more play into my life. And I've always been a playful guy, but especially over the last 4 years, I've taken on the persona of like, oh, I'm a podcaster who talks about health and consciousness and things like this. And I'm like, no, I'm a playful dude who also likes playing basketball and DJing and snowboarding and joking around. And yeah, I think that makes total sense.
I think it's really skillful too, because oftentimes the way to people's hearts is by making them laugh, right?
Right.
So if you allow yourself to be silly, then probably your message is going to reach even more people than you could even imagine.
I did stand-up comedy for the first time.
No way.
Yeah.
When?
At Anarchapulco, this event that I just spoke at.
Serious?
I literally felt inside of me to just do stand-up comedy. And I did, and I crushed it. I made a bunch of people laugh, and I was like, what the hell did I just do? I just did stand-up comedy.
How did you do it? Did they teach you how?
I don't know. It literally like came over me. It did help that the two people that went before me didn't do particularly well. And I did not like sign up. It was just like, okay, I'll get up on stage next type of thing. And I just did it. I just felt, I don't know. I just did it. I don't know. And I would have never done something like that 2 years ago. But even in my talk at Anarchapulco, like my actual talk, I was so much more like loose and playful. And then it's like, that's what I'm talking about, inviting the funkiness of a foxglove into my awareness. Yeah. I don't know. Interesting. But yeah, that's coming up for me a lot. So it totally makes sense. Totally makes sense.
What do you attribute that to?
Like in what way? What do you mean?
What is allowing you to access that side of yourself and not be so rigid?
Self-love, really loving myself deeply, really learning to love myself. I mean, it's no accident that fierce compassion and infinite love are two of the flower essences that I chose based on your quiz. Hmm. And I've been taking those a lot, so maybe those helped a lot. Seriously though, like maybe those helped quite a bit.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because I've been taking them for what, like 3.5 weeks now, 3.5 weeks, something like that. But definitely since I've been at Anarchapulco when I went to Anarchapulco, wow, and I did stand-up comedy and I like felt so in my body more than I have in a long time.
I was just gonna say, if you're also taking that blue one, the luscious embodiment. It's like letting your like wild and crazy and like all parts of you come out.
Well, I was pouring all of those in my water in Acapulco, so
keep it going. I want to see more stand-up comedy.
Yeah, I know. I still cannot believe I did that. Like looking back, I was like, what the heck? When you talk about the plants communicating with you, like communing with nature, and just like these plants calling out to you, and you know that plant is the correct plant to make an essence out of, how does that feel in your body? Is it a subtle like actual voice inside of you, or is it just a thought that pops into your head? Is it a feeling inside of you that you attribute to a certain emotion and thought? How does that work?
Everything and all the above, and every time it's different. The first flower essence, like major flower essence collection trip I went on was in Canada. And on that trip, I was in the alpine forest. I didn't know anything about the flowers. And I just did my meditation practice and did prayers like, please help me find what I need to find. And it was the animals that showed me the way. And I have never to this day had that happen again. Like, you know, it was like two different pathways to take. And this big black bear comes out of the woods. And I'm like, okay, I let him cross. And then I said, I'm going to take the path, you know, that he just crossed. And then I kept walking and there was a butterfly that swirled around and landed on a flower. So I collected that one. And there was a snake, this beautiful snake that went a couple feet in front of my toes off into a patch of white flowers, which was white yarrow, the one I was telling you about before, and so on. And those particular flowers have been the foundation of what people needed the most, right? This was like 15 years ago. And I've had other experiences where it's more like an emotional sensation. Like I collected a night blooming cactus once and I didn't realize at the time, but it only blooms one night a year.
It's
super powered.
Yeah.
And it's for dissolving fear.
Wow.
And so I was, you know, I had it in my car cause I had to bring it home and it was nighttime and I was driving and I was super paranoid and I saw a police officer and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get pulled over. And then it's like, and what? He's going to find out you have a flower in your bag.
Yeah.
See,
you like confuse it for peyote or something like that.
Like, and then I realized, oh, I am experiencing full on the trigger state or the imbalance state so that I can understand what it's addressing. Sometimes it's like a voice in the head.
What's the strongest example of a voice in your head?
I mean, it's almost like a thought, right? And that's why it takes so long to develop trust in it, because you just think you're crazy and you're making shit up. It takes a long time to really trust that the information you're getting is, you know, legit. Mm. But it's like a voice. It's like your own thoughts, you know?
Are you a particularly analytical person? You don't seem like that way. You seem very intuitive naturally.
Like
you seem to trust this more than this. Not that like one is worse than the other, but the reason I'm asking that is people who have a strong tendency to be overly analytical, in my experience, are those who end up second guessing everything.
Mm.
Like they rationalize it in their head. Have you found yourself doing that before? And how have you learned to resolve that?
I've had to just teach myself like, okay, and you're crazy. So what? Like, can you just open your mind enough to think that maybe this could be true? That's kind of how I started, just opening the door with myself. Like, could you just allow yourself to think that maybe there is that much magic in the world? Because what's the alternative? That you look like a fool, that you're stupid, that you're humiliated? Like, what is really the alternative? Right. And like, who wants to live in that world anyway? A lot of it was working with clients one-on-one. I would purposefully cover up all the labels. So I just saw the tops and I would train myself. So if you were my client, you came in, I would just pick. And I would do that after you told me the story and see if it matched up. Then the next step was I would do it before you told me your whole story. And then the third was I'd do it while you were on your way to your appointment. And then I would tell you before you even opened your mouth. And that really helped me train myself to trust that you could actually develop the capacity, if you have the right intention and the purity of motivation and love, that you can be that intuitive. Mm. And then I've had other experiences. Like this one time I got my bug in a butt where I was like, I'm going to find this endangered species orchid, right? Super rare. I contacted all the botanists, like all these nerdy scientists, and they all ignored me. Of course, they did not want to tell me where to find it. I was like, you know, if you cut it, you're fined hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, wow. Like that rare.
So it's actually in Minnesota. It's in the Midwest.
Wow.
And for months, every morning in my meditation before I was going to take this trip, I just, you know, very last little ditch effort at the end of my meditation would throw this little intention out. Hey, plants over in this area, I'm coming your way in summer. If you want to be found, if you want to be of service to humanity, if you want to be scaled out so that people can experience your magic, help me find you. I would just do that every day. And then, you know, am I crazy? Yeah, I could be crazy. But also if you are familiar with, oh my God, one of my favorite herbalists of all time, and he just died, Stephen Herod Buhner.
Not familiar.
The Secret Language of Plants. Oh my God, it's my favorite book
ever. I have
that
book too.
Oh,
I have The Secret Life of Plants and The Secret Language of Plants.
So good.
Okay.
he quoted, in one of his books, he says, you know, this is the way of the indigenous people. And then they scientifically proved that if you put an intention out to a plant, let's say those little yellow flowers in your backyard, can you help me heal this? Within 24 to 48 hours, the chemical constituents of the plant have already changed to support your request.
Wow.
We're talking chemical compounds. Mm. So we're talking herbal formula, right?
Yeah.
So energetically could happen even faster.
Yeah, of course. Because again, like the secret life of plants, we look at that and that was instantaneous and sometimes before something would happen in reality. So this is now we're talking about the chemicals and that maybe may take a little bit longer, but still 24 to 48 hours completely changing its chemical structure to match what you need is incredible.
Totally. So based on that principle, I was like, well, let me just throw it out there. And if I'm stupid, if I look like a fool, so be it.
Yeah.
I'll get comfortable with being the crazy lady, right? So we took this trip and we get into the area where it could be. And it's like, you know, there's a million roads to take. We could be here for days, mm-hmm. right? We were on the road all of like 10 minutes max. We're driving. Like, I'm like, oh, that place sounds cool. And we take a turn and we're literally driving on a gravel road and I see something off in the distance. I'm like, stop the car. And we jump out and it's the orchid. Like,
no,
we literally found it that fast. I like grab my photographer. I'm like, check this out, Taylor. And we're standing there and she and I are standing there looking at this orchid, like our jaws dropped, right?
Yeah.
And it's almost sunset. There's one tiny little cloud above. That teeny tiny like nothing of a cloud, like you don't even want to call it a cloud, it's just like a wisp. It rumbled thunder, and in that moment it was like my whole body was like, oh my fucking god, this place just welcomed us.
Wow.
Like rumbled in my belly, and I look up and it rains, like, you know, one of those really soft 2 minute rains.
Yeah, where it's like kind of sunny across the distance.
The whole sky was like blue and apricot. And it felt to me like the place heard my request every day, was meeting me, right? And that was like, you know, the red full moon came up and fireflies were everywhere. It was just like crazy magical. Okay, so then we came back the next morning to make the flower essence. And that flower is in here. It's this one that looks like little neurons.
Yeah.
And it's for very quickly tapping into people, places, and things and being able to electrically, energetically understand them. So you say what they need to hear, or so that you understand it's good for the brain, it's good for neurological, it's for connections, right? And like how crazy is that, you know, because you could say, that's just like nuts. But don't you want to live? Doesn't everyone want to live in that kind of world?
Right. I mean, like, I won't say who, but I witnessed a kid read blindfolded the other day and play catch blindfolded. And then like I put the blindfold on and I could not do any of that. So it's like, there's no tricks here. But even so, my mind was still trying to rationalize how this could make sense in a physical context. And it's like, this is not a physical thing. This is something beyond our comprehension that is what we would call magic, but it's not magic. It's also fundamentally a part of this reality. We just are so tricked, especially in the modern world, as we move further and further away from this, from nature, we're not understanding that that's the true essence of who we are.
You can make a request to go out into your backyard or the nature places that are close to you. You can voice your concerns or whatever you're worried about or the physical or emotional thing that's tripping you up, and you can ask for help.
Mm.
And then you can collect those flowers. If they're not, you know, you soak them in water, put them in the sunlight for a few hours. If you know for sure that they're not poisonous, you can drink it or put it in your bath water or dump it over your head. You know, what do we have to lose?
So cool. So cool. Okay. So let's end with, you sharing some of the things that you do with Lotus Way. Where did you get the name Lotus Way, by the way?
We kind of made it up. Lotus
really
is
cool.
Lotus grows in the mud. So like nasty, dirty, stinky, right? And there's the lotus effect, which like no speck of dust can rest on the petal or the leaf. So it's the symbolism of, you know, we use all the crap from modern life to become who we really are.
Mm.
And way means transformative action for the benefit of all.
So it's like alchemy in the deepest sense.
Yeah.
The name Lotus Way.
And it's like, we all say we want to help, right? We want to benefit the world. And we spend too much time like out, extending ourselves. The idea is that the most powerful way we can impact the world is by transforming ourselves from the inside out, that directly ripples out to all of humanity. That's the most powerful means of transformation that we have right here.
Mm-hmm. And these help with that. Yeah, it's beautiful. So you do some in-person things too, right?
We do events and botanical treatments and private ceremonies, and we partner with a lot of practitioners who offer, you know, flower essences into their experiences of acupuncture, applied kinesiology, other types of healing. We have a 15,000 square foot building in Phoenix called the Sulfurizing Nature Center, where you can learn about flower essences and have experiences and healing treatments.
That's so cool. Have you ever made a flower essence for like ayahuasca, or would that not even work? You wouldn't want to do that because that's like stripping the context of the plant, but could you do that?
100%. I think it'd be interesting actually. Yeah. Because you know, it's funny, we like culturally trend wise we get sort of like focused on a few varieties, and there's over 40,000 flowering species of plants on the planet, but I think it would be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. And then a piece of me is like, no, I don't want to like bastardize it more than like podcasters like me already have. Like everyone sort of is trending on that. And maybe there's something to be said there that people are feeling called to do ayahuasca. But
there's so many other varieties, you know, from so many different places. And what do you do about like the pregnant mamas or the kiddos or the elderly? Like this is a form that is not so extreme, and that over time you can awaken without having to, you know, shit your brains out and all that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share as we close up?
I would just say that I'm extremely grateful to you and all of the gifts that you offer. I think you don't know, like many of us don't know, all the ways that you touch people. And people you don't know. And I just want to verbally let you know that I appreciate so much everything you do and like how much of your content I consume before I actually even knew you personally and then getting to know you. And it's like, oh my God, like we've been friends forever. Just that I look forward to watching you bloom and unfold and finding the most like radical, raw, alchemical power birthed from anger. I look forward to being a witness of that. And I'm sure that all the listeners would also gain so much from that, as we already have so far.
Thank you so much. It really means a lot. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Thank you.
So many of us dream of buying some land, growing our own food, and becoming self-sufficient away from a society that's gone completely mad. What if it's easier than we think to make that dream a reality? Siblings Jamie and Shelby over at Living the Off-Grid Dream have cracked the code to getting land and living a life of freedom. They'll show you where to find land for $1 down. That's right, $1 down, with low monthly payments, as well as how to structure your vision for a homestead, retreat center, regenerative farm, or community. It's one thing to have food, water, and land security, but it's an entirely different thing to have the financial security to buy the land and build it out in a way that aligns with your goals and aspirations. Their program teaches you how to make enough money on your land to cover all of your costs to make that happen. Plus, they've got you covered with pre-filled out plans to give you inspiration if you're not quite sure what your best move for your land is. And if you're a member of The Way Forward, you get a free one-on-one strategy call with Jamie and Shelby, as well as a free bonus gift. If you want to turn your homesteading, off-grid, or retreat center dreams into a reality, join Living the Off-Grid Dream by clicking the link in the show notes or heading to thewayforward.com/off-grid. In nearly all cases with modern health systems, you're waiting months for appointments only to spend a mere 10 minutes with a doctor who quickly hands out a generic diagnosis that is likely rooted in a total misunderstanding of health and causes, and then you're offered a one-size-fits-all medication or invasive treatments with unpleasant side effects. If this sounds all too familiar, consider a different approach with the New Biology Clinic, founded by Dr. Tom Cowan, a respected natural health doctor, author, and speaker. Dr. Cowan's holistic perspective on health and wellness and a deep understanding of the true nature of health and disease sets this clinic apart. With the New Biology Clinic, it's not about quick fixes and suppressing symptoms. The practitioners take time to understand your unique story, recognizing that health is unique to the individual and that illnesses have a variety of causes, physically and metaphysically. Members of the New Biology Clinic enjoy a flat monthly fee that includes a range of valuable services like health consults as needed, practitioner-led live streams on diverse health topics, access to a members-only resource library, and multiple live group sessions every month. These sessions cover fitness, breathing integration, biofield tuning, guided meditation, EFT tapping, and much more. Unlike traditional healthcare systems that thrive on frequent visits, prescriptions, treatments, and suppressing symptoms, the New Biology Clinic's motivation is to make you healthy and keep you that way. Visit newbiologyclinic.com to learn more and use code THEWAYFORWARD for $50 off your account activation. If you're a member of The Way Forward, email hello@thewayforward.com to receive $150 off your account activation. Your journey to genuine healing begins here.